my life, I have a tendency to make very bad decisions.
David, I don't want a boyfriend who just disappears because he's too busy.
You're unreliable. You have brought me such beautiful flowers.
Yes, I did. Maybe that's why I've been stuck in the same job for so long.
You're 3 hours late, man.
God damn. Remakes is just... Didn't we just see this fucking movie already?
Well, no, you and I have been talking about this for months. This is a remake of a foreign film, which I actually ended up watching last night before I went to go see this morning.
And I saw it as well. Like I said, I was going to do before I saw it on Tuesday. I saw it on Monday. So, yeah, this came out this year, and it's by the same guy that wrote the original and the same guy that directed the original, which is Mr. Ken Scott himself. So,
and it's the same movie as the original.
Why the fuck did he make this?
I don't know. Like my only logic is that he was trying to get an American audience on this story. That's my only logic.
No goddamn way. That's the only logic. But then, no goddamn way, nobody gonna go see this shit with Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly. That's the little detail they forgot to mention to him, was that they were gonna release it this weekend and not give two shits about it.
He must be a foreigner, and he must have said, "Yeah, Hunger Games. Oh, that's nothing. Whatever. They're gonna find this one touching and more dramatic, whatever. You know, the story of a man with 533 kids. I'm sorry. What is that story about again?"
Yeah. Well, I mean, people. Here's what this story is about. As
talking about the man, by the way.
Yeah, we're talking about Delivery Man. As P1 said, the story focuses on a delivery man played by Vince Vaughn who goes by the nickname Starbuck.
Damn, you just a delivery man. He's a delivery man, damn. Is that where they got the title from?
Yeah. Well, and the, you know, the play on words for the point of the movie.
Yeah, I guess.
So, this delivery man, he's a man-child, as Americans seem to love nowadays. And...
toned down well. I mean, that was the one positive I had on this movie. I said, well, from the trailers, it's not Vince Vaughn stipulating and talking as much as he did. I mean, there was one scene where he did, and I was just like, oh shit, someone get up, someone tone his ass down. And then
it's not him being an auctioneer with jokes.
Yeah, thank God. Oh, yeah, an auctioneer, perfect, whatever. He would be great at that job, whatever. Maybe acting in this thing, maybe it's auctioneering.
It could be, but anywho, so after a little mix-up with something that he did in the 90s, which I wish was still around today, which was sperm donoring, he finds out 10 years later when he has, you know, a nice girlfriend and he's, you know, he's got things going for him. He finds out that this little bank that he donated his sperm to fucked up royal and gave him 531 kids.
How do you fuck that up? How do you fuck that up? Like, you know what? I gotta agree with you. I wish the sperm bank was around it, because he made... $27,000?
Yeah.
Damn, just for busting a nut. I was like, fuck. I was just shit. I was like, I got a couple of that then for you. I got George, here you go.
That's the way to fix the economy. Just have everyone start doing that.
Yeah, I was like, damn, fuck going to strip clubs and whorehouses and shit like that. I bet that'd keep a bunch of people off the shits like that, or if they had these shits still open. But you say nice girlfriend? I gotta say the ever so loving, most beautiful woman in Hollywood right now is Miss Colby Smulders, because god damn, she's pretty.
Yes, she is. As everyone knows, Colby Smulders is the great Robin Scherbosky from How I Met Your Mother and Maria Hill from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and I gotta say, for her, they didn't really, I thought in their original, at least or whatever, I thought the characters were a little bit better as far as of how they were handled, which is funny because that film is shorter than this one, and Colby Smulders really wasn't given anything here to do.
Which tells me something, you know, because I was thinking about that, because I agree with you. That tells me that maybe, like, I don't know, maybe this guy just thought that Americans didn't appreciate women as much?
Yeah, you know what, maybe he thought that Vince Vaughn was the selling point of this film, whatever. I mean, that could be one reason also, the whole Vince Vaughn, I don't know, maybe he's like, oh, people aren't worried about what's going on, they want to hear the comedy heat hijinks of Vince Vaughn or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we can theorize all day about why that is, but you're right. I mean, it's upsetting that that's the case, because she's proven in many things that she's really good.
Yeah, so, she's, not to say she's bad in this order, I thought she was decent in what she was doing, it's just that she's on screen for about, you know, a couple of seconds or whatever, and the best she does is just give birth.
Right. She also does have one of the funniest jokes in the movie, where they're at the dinner table. And he's just like, so this Starbucks guy who has 500 kids, isn't that like terrible? And she's like, oh yeah, I would never date that guy, right? Oh god.
Oh, and they were in the, I guess it was like Babies R Us, whatever. And she was talking to the guy, whatever. She was like, hey, excuse me, do you have 533 strollers? And he was like, no. And he's
yeah.
Like, Exactly, whatever. Yeah, that was pretty funny, whatever. And I was like, why didn't give her more like there? She's a great comedic actor, if anything, from I Met Your Mother, of course, or and she can deliver her lines, but she, I don't know, he just didn't give her a, she's barely on scene, first of all. You can see her in the beginning, probably like 3-4 times, and then towards the end, she shows up a little bit more because Vince Vaughn's dedicating more of his time to her.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he was doing in the first place, because like, you don't have time for that. It's like, how do you not have time for that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, dude, let's look at you. You're probably not going to get anything close to that.
Exactly. She's a cop. She's a badass. She got a job and everything. I was just like, what the fuck are you doing that's so much more important than this right here? I mean, you're a delivery, like you said, you're just a delivery man. You got a fucked up life and everything. I was like, I don't get that, honestly.
Well, it's honestly, like,
I thought the guy from the original was a little bit more downer, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to talk about this because it's such a carbon copy of the original, except for, like we said, really the only difference that I could think of was Mulder's character.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, it's one of those weird things where you said it best at the beginning. Why remake this? What's the point?
Especially months after, because that Starbuck, it just got released on DVD in August, when I was thinking, and it came out in March or April or in theaters as far as, like, limited release. So I was
right.
Like, why would he make that? I mean, granted, it was subtitled, but, you know.
I know. It's just, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But then I mean, I go back to, I think about Michael Hanukkah when he did this with Funny Games. And the reason he did it was to, you know, make it for an American audience. So I think that's the same case here. But,
well, what did you think of the movie, though? Because we're talking about the remake and comparing why he made it. What did you think, though?
I don't know. It's like, I like the evolution of the character. I do. I think the evolution of Viswan's character from being a screw-up to someone who's actually a good person, that's really well done. The problem here, though, is just that it's not all that interesting.
I was going to say that, yeah, it's kind of pretty forgettable, unmemorable, and it's just...
There's not that many jokes keeping it going along.
No, it's not, whatever. It kind of gets, heartwarming at times, whatever, but once again, it's like, it's barely for like a second, whatever. I think, honestly, what held it together for me, because the first half of it, I was kind of dragging a little bit, but I think the second half, when he starts meeting all these kids, his interaction with the kids kind of... I don't know, it was a little bit entertaining to see all these kids and their different personalities, some are successes, one's a drug addict and shit like that. One's, you know what, I will say this, one kid really did kind of touch me a little bit, it was the mentally disabled kid.
Yeah, I mean, but I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about why it didn't so much for me, and then it was that thing of like, oh, this is probably Hollywood coming in and saying, like you know, spend more...
I will say it didn't... I didn't think it felt right in the movie as far as what was going on with everything else and all the kids, whatever.
Yeah, and that's really my big problem with it. It just felt out of place.
And I thought it was nice to see Vince Vaughn have a silent moment for once, whatever, and tears is going down his eyes and stuff like that. So I think personally for me, as just seeing him as a different character for once in a fucking movie or whatever, because goddamn, dude, you play the same fucking character. So just to him have that silent moment he had, because in this scene where he's with the mentally disabled kid, there's no dialogue at all. It's just silence, whatever. And it's like for a good 2 minutes or whatever. He's just walking around with his kid or whatever, or pushing him in his wheelchair or whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of like that out of Vince. I was like, I'm glad he did that. Feels out of place, granted, but this is probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Well, it's one of the only scenes that, you know, this movie's trying to be a feel-good movie, and that's one of the only scenes that really does it, you know.
Yeah.
You're right, the interaction with the kids could do it, because it is, you know, it's nice to see Vince Vaughn being, you know, going through that change, but at the end of the day, it just comes down to, you're not, you know, we're not going to remember this in a week. I mean, fuck, we got the Hunger Games that just came out.
I forgot it already.
Exactly. and that's really the problem.
I'm piggybacking off your review.
Right, and that's really the problem with this. It's just like, you know, you're not going to remember it 2 or 3 days later. So it's just one of those things where if the Hunger Games and Thor is sold out and you just don't want to drive back home, you know, if you see this, you're not going to get mad. It's not offensive. But
that was one thing I had about the film, too. As I was sitting there watching, I was just like, I'd rather be watching this at home but I'd probably be doing some other things while I'm watching this as well. But I'm not mad. I'm not going to get offended or anything. I'm actually appreciating Vince Vaughn for once, whatever, for going out the norm and doing something different as far as him actually trying to play a little dramatic at times, whatever. Not so great, whatever. But I was just like, I mean, it's forgettable. It's not memorable, whatever. I will say, my favorite actor in the movie, though, I have to say, was Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I think he was the funniest one in the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, he was the only one with... He was the only one who seemed like he was enjoying himself. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he seemed to be the only one to realize he was in a comedy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he seemed to be, you know, he was the only one that seemed to be going for jokes. And you're right, he actually does get the most jokes in the film. Too bad, like, you know, it's one of those things where every time he pops up, it's like, oh, dude, too little, too late.
Yeah, he's like one of the, because he plays like the lawyer of his friend of Vince Vaughn's character, David, here, and like everybody's against him. His children doesn't listen to him. But like, I love the scene. He's like, hey, don't get in that sandbox. Oh, God damn it. Oh, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Because he has four kids too, and they don't listen to him at all. And I'm just like, oh, I wonder if he's a wife. Obviously, he doesn't. So they just run over his ass. And it was like, Grandma said you're not going to win. She said you'll always lose, whatever. And he was like, fucking bitch. It was just little shit like that, whatever. I think Chris Pratt was the only one that was actually trying for the comedic moments. Everybody else is, well, Colby Smulders wasn't in it long enough to do anything. I mean, she had that one line that was funny, and that was it, or whatever. And that was probably her longest line in the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, she doesn't get a lot of time, which sucks.
No, yeah, it does, whatever. But I do appreciate Vince Vaughn going out of his way. I mean, the movie, it damn near is kind of generic now, almost, or whatever. I mean, it's just unforgettable and forgettable, not memorable. Once again, I mean, there's nothing really out the norm of what's going on here besides having 533 kids.
Yeah, and that's that to me is just like an enticing factor for the audience. It's like, you've never seen this before.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. You've never seen it. Oh, Vince Vaughn's got some crazy madness. You gonna see crazy Vince Vaughn again? It's like, no. God, no, whatever, but yeah, so...
How does Vince Vaughn have 531 kids? What is the world coming to?
Okay, it's not even fucking possible, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's... I mean, yeah, but you know they're still gonna be dumbasses. It's like, I wonder how this is gonna go.
Man, all those fucking kids on there, whatever, and... it seemed like none of the kids were bad. I never felt the consequence in this film, either, as far as, like, why he didn't want to tell them or anything like that.
That's an excellent point.
I kept saying Chris Pratt saying like, oh, you're gonna be the guy known as 533 kids, and then I was just like, well, nobody really knows right now, but then until like halfway through the film, that's when it started going public and media wise, where I was just like, this seemed to be blown out of proportion. I mean, 533, don't get me wrong, that's a lot of kids, but at the same time, it was a donor shit or whatever that the facility fucked up or whatever. So I mean,
right, you know, it's not his fault. I mean, the movie goes out to say it's not his fault.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, personally, want to get down to it, I didn't really feel that big of a deal of it.
No, I didn't either. And like, the only consequences that the movie, you know, has is that, oh, his girlfriend doesn't, you know, she doesn't think that this is right, so maybe he'll lose her if it becomes public.
That was a weak consequence. that was weak. Oh, right. My God. That didn't get brought up to like, the end of the fucking film.
Right.
Wow, alrighty then, Jesus. What'd you give this, then?
Low streaming. I mean, there's some nice heartfelt moments in it. Like you said, you know, the mentally disabled kid, that's one. But it's just, you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing here to make you remember. And it's one of those films where, at least for me, it was like getting to the point where at the end where it's like he's meeting all these kids and I'm like, all right, let's wrap it up, B.
Mm-hmm. It did go on, like, I think 17 minutes more than the original did or something like that. And I was like, I don't even see where that was added.
Yeah, I don't either.
Or something. You know, I think I want to say, because that heartfelt moment with the mentally disabled guy, that was the only time in the movie where I actually just looked at it and was just like, I actually appreciate this a lot in this movie right now. Was it enough to bring the movie up? No, because that only happened twice in the film, and the first one was a little long, whatever. Sorry, well, not long, like a minute or whatever. And the second one was just like brief, whatever. Which I was wondering, that kid never came back up in the movie at all. Whatever. That was in the middle of the film too, and I was like, they probably should have did more with that kid, or whatever. And maybe it would probably have been a little bit more touching towards the end.
I agree,
because it all these kids just accepted him as a father and anything like that. There was no consequences, or like you said, no consequences. And none of them was looking for support or anything like that. I mean, they all were just happy kids. Where I'm just like, hey, I don't see the big deal then of saying you're the father. This
yeah, the drug dealer, the druggie is just like, dude, do you want to go smoke pot?
Was that one kid, that weird ass kid, the one that figured him out? So I was just like, yeah, leave it to the weird one to figure out. Vigo, whatever.
But that was the thing, like he's meeting all these kids. It's like, one of them's gonna be smart enough.
And it turned out to be this one, though.
I would have laughed if it was a drug dealer. Like, see, that would have been a joke if it was a drug dealer that figured it out.
It was funny because I thought she did at the hospital when she said that, and I was like, oh, she's going along. I was just about to say, oh, shit.
That would have been hilarious. So it's like, hey, you're my dealer.
No, you're my dealer. They should have got high together and, like, did something like that, whatever. No, no, even, like, with him trying to help the kids, whatever, that whole drug thing, that went over in a night. I was just like, I don't think you can get over fucking doing needles like that in a night just because some grown-ass man came and told you don't do it.
Yeah.
So, I'll give it a straight. I mean, I didn't hate the movie. I didn't dislike it or anything, whatever. It just flowed at a pace that was calm, smoothing, whatever. And I'm just like, I'd rather watch this at home, though. I don't really feel the need to be in a theater, almost hitting a 2-hour mark here, too.
Yeah. I'm also glad that, you know, Hollywood didn't get to this too much, because, you know, if they did, they would have made it a black man. So that way it would have been more believable.
They would have had Tyler Perry do this.
Exactly. It would have been Tyler Perry, and he would have gotten, like, J.B. Smoove or, you know, Knuck Knuck to star in this shit.
He got Will Smith. Oh, hell no! Hell no, that ain't my kid. Oh my god, 533 little Jaden.
Or they would have gotten Forrest Whitaker and it's just 531 kids with cross eyes.
He's like, no, I ain't got time for that. I got this movie called Black Nativity. You heard that? I play a pastor.
I feel like we can go on with this joke for days. It could be 50 Cent. Oh, you do, daddy.
Oh man, that's some great kids lineup. Whatever, Keen Woodbine got Mr. Teeth and shit. Whatever, you know, all these buds.
Oh god! All right,
over there, computer hacker.
I've unleashed the floodgate. All right, I'm done. Good night, everyone.
Tyrese wants some soul glow. You know. Hell later, everyone.
But it's my life. You don't have the skills to be a father.
Daddy.
Okay, stop it.
I need order. And this is order.